Executive Director of the Public Health Accreditation Board. Very pleased to be with you this afternoon. Well, accreditation of voluntary accreditation of state, local, territorial, and tribal health departments is on the way. It's been an idea. It's been a plan. It's now a work in progress, and this is our birth certificate. And it offers tremendous opportunity. It's a historic and exciting venture. It will offer public health departments the opportunity to connect better with your public, with enhanced credibility, to connect with government officials and educate them again with enhanced credibility, to establish firmly and effectively continuous improvement of delivery of services of your department, to be excellent and to be recognized for excellence, and ultimately to affect improved health in the community. Now, as I said, the Explore Accreditation Project is essentially the genesis, the birth of the concept of national voluntary accreditation and the Public Health Accreditation Board. It came out of a panel and a planning committee and subcommittees and work groups that studied the concept of accreditation on a national basis for a number of years. The group that was in charge of that planning and activity is shown on this slide. All four of the public health organizations that were involved in that planning process in the form of a planning committee, the APHA, NALBO, ASTO, and NACHO. And then Kay Bender from the University of Mississippi chaired a steering committee of eminent public health professionals that looked at the various elements of a public health department accreditation program. Ultimately, they came to the conclusion that it was both desirable and feasible to put a program such as I'm going to describe to you briefly today into action. Now, the goal of a voluntary accreditation program, as articulated by that group, the Explore Accreditation Committee, is to improve and protect the health of the public by advancing the quality and performance of state and local public health departments. The Explore Accreditation Project group came out with a model to develop an organization that can implement a national voluntary accreditation program. That model was subjected to a process of public comment and modification and response in response to comments, ultimately resulting in a model that we are now in the process of implementing at the Public Health Accreditation Board. NACHO, ASTO, APHA, and NALBO all have endorsed the recommendations of the Explore Accreditation Project. And the actual wording in the NACHO recommendation and the ASTO recommendation is shown lead in cooperation with appropriate partners in the development and implementation of such a national voluntary accreditation program that will drive quality improvement. The organization of the Public Health Accreditation Board, again following the recommendations of the EAP study, is set up as you see before you. We have a board of directors under which an executive director, myself, works with an associate director, Robin Wilcox, who's in the back of the room today with us, and with contractors and consultants. And we have a staff assisting us that's been detailed to us on a part-time basis from the four organizations that were on the planning committee for the Public Health Accreditation Board. We'll also be working, as I mentioned, with contractors and consultants in various elements of developing this program. And the work of the Public Health Accreditation Board will actually be done by professionals, yourselves, in the public health practice. And we're going to do that under work groups and committees that will develop the various elements, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, of a public health accreditation and assessment program. The Board of Directors, as it's currently comprised, includes the executive directors of the four public health organizations, plus Kay Bender from the University of Mississippi, Ed Harrison, who's the president of the National Commission on Correctional Health Care, William Riley from the School of Public Health at the University of Minnesota, and I'm an ex officio member of that board. This is a transitional board. Our plans and our bylaws call for this board to move to become a board that has a majority of members who are practicing public health professionals at the local or state, territorial, or tribal department level. So the executive directors of those four organizations will be transferring off of the board with time, and we'll be adding board members. Ultimately, we'll probably be operating in the next 2 or 3 years with a board of maybe 15 to 18 members. Again, the majority of that board will always be practicing or recently practicing health department professionals. Staffing at this point, full-time staff, again, myself and our associate director, Robin Wilcox. We also have an office manager, Angela Yates. And then we're working closely with the detailed and supporting staff, Jim Pearsall, Lindsay Caldwell, and Jennifer Jimenez from ASTO, and Grace Garnfeld, Carolyn Leap, Jessica Solomon, and Penny Davis from NACHO, Jeff Neistat and Yolanda Savage from NALBO. And from APHA, we're working with Carlene Batty, Kemi Oluwafemi, and Celeste Barnes. All of those people are invaluable to making this program get started and work, and all bring various types of experience and expertise to the table as we assemble the pieces of the Public Health Accreditation Board program. We will be and intend to be accrediting on a national basis state and territorial health departments and local health departments and tribal health departments. So those will be the applicants for accreditation when we're ready to roll it out. The values of accreditation, I mentioned I look at accreditation, and you should see it as an opportunity. There will be challenges in getting ready for it. It's really encouraging when you hear about programs that are going on, and I've heard about many of them at places like Kansas that we've just heard about, where they're looking at how you can use regionalization to leverage your capacity in order to meet accreditation standards when they ultimately come down the road. And a lot of other states are looking at it from various ways of accomplishing that objective, and we're encouraged to see that. But it is an opportunity. Ultimately, of course, what it's all about is developing delivery of public health services that will improve public health outcomes. And as you get into accreditation as a public health department or agency, of course, quality and performance improvement are something you look at. Continuous quality improvement is one of the cornerstones of accreditation, or you could say accreditation is one of the cornerstones of continuously quality improvement. They go hand in glove. The point is that they're both very critical to the success of a public health department in delivering services to the public effectively. Accreditation does enable you to communicate better and establish accountability of who's responsible for delivery of services and how those services will be delivered. Credibility of the department with accreditation, again, a tremendous value that I see of accreditation. We all want to be recognized for excellent performance, and accreditation enables one to be recognized among peers and the public for achieving excellence in the delivery of public health services. Also, there's a lot of ambiguity or misunderstanding or lack of understanding of what public health departments are accountable for, what they expected to do, what are the services they are expected to deliver. We have the 10 essential services, but to what standard and to what degree are those to be delivered? Clarification of expectations for both local and state health departments would be an expectation of a good accreditation program, and increased visibility. The public needs to know more about what a public health department does to serve the community and how to better access those services. Certainly a good accreditation program will help establish that increased visibility. So those are important values that we see at the Public Health Accreditation Board, and that were articulated in the Explore Accreditation Project report and recommendations. The timeline that we have projected to accomplish this daunting goal of establishing a real solid accreditation program, we're working now in 2007 on setting up the infrastructure of running a public health accreditation board, and that's work in process. We have just started the standards and measures, which is really one of the key elements of developing an accreditation program. And I'll talk a little bit more about how that's happening in a moment, but it's happening through the use of your peers and their expertise in developing standards and measures. We will be later in 2008 developing the assessment process by which health departments will be evaluated for their ability to be accredited. And then we're going to test this through 2009 and out through 2010 using the tried and true quality improvement methodology of testing and then making refinements in response to things that are identified during the testing period that need to be improved, and then coming out ultimately accepting our applications for accreditation of health departments on a national basis in the first quarter of 2011. And we don't have Red Sox, but by then maybe the Nationals will be somebody that we can, in Washington, brag about. All right, I said I'd talk a little bit about standards development because that's really one of the key elements of an effective accreditation program. And in general, we will be using the ANSI principles for standards development, which really are consensus and quality improvement standards development principles. They're really common sense. I mean, they say you develop with a good professional peer group a set of standards. You test them by taking them out on a broader and more public forum, and then you look carefully at those responses, and that professional group works to incorporate those changes into a draft standard. Specifically within the operations of our Public Health Accreditation Board activities and working with our constituency, the public health professionals, we will make every effort and will accomplish being inclusive throughout the process, bringing all corners and types of professionals and diversity into this process. We have some building blocks to work with, so we're not starting out at ground zero. That's a big asset. In the case of local health departments, that would be the operational definition for local standards. In the case of state standards, it will be, in part, the ASTO survey on the structure and function of a state public health operation, which is a very recent endeavor of ASTO. And we will be developing separate local and state tools and standards. However, they will be complementary and mutually reinforcing, and they won't be developed in a vacuum. They'll be developed through cross-communication throughout the process. We'll have and do have assigned now a standards development work group. They will work with a professional facilitator that has experience in the development of standards and understanding and background in the public health profession and community. How is the board funded at this point? The term we have is a consortium of funders. Actually, it's right now it's Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Centers for Disease Control of and Prevention. It's a small consortium of two, a bilateral consortium. As the program comes into existence, it will be designed to incorporate applicant fees to cover the cost of operation of an accreditation program. We certainly can't tell you right now how those fees would be structured, what would be the basis for the development of those fees, or what the range of fees might look like, because that's work that's going to have to be done over the next couple of years as we find out more about what it costs to operate the program and what the universe of accredited departments looks like. You know, I have to anticipate that it will be a sliding scale, but I don't know what the range will be. And, you know, the question is always asked, will there be other sources of funding? Will there be subsidies? Again, we'll see how that rolls out. I can't answer that question right now, but I expect down the road, when we're in operation and we are granting accreditation, there'll be some kind of cost recovery fee structure. And, you know, that will be, I think, enhanced in terms of keeping it as reasonable and effective as possible by careful management and cost controls wherever possible in the operation of the accreditation program. There's a lot of discussion about the question, why should I become accredited? And I've already talked about the value of accreditation to some extent. There's great work going on right now trying to determine from the local and state and territorial health departments and public health community what are the incentives for becoming accredited. There's work being done at the University of North Carolina Institute of Public Health, actually it's the North Carolina Institute of Public Health, and others, but they're doing a research project right now to identify incentives. We'll have a committee, a work group working on that also. Some of the incentives that were identified in the Explore Accreditation Project research that was done included, you know, recognition of high performance and quality improvement, the accountability component that I mentioned earlier, access to resources, technical resources, financial resources for quality and performance improvement, the enhanced ability to participate in a network, in a learning community that is dedicated mutually to excellent health outcomes. And overall, again, the endeavor to improve public health in the nation. We're also going to be looking, as we go through this process, at accreditation results. We have to be able to document the claims that we're making that accreditation will result in improved performance of public health departments, that that performance also has a direct bearing on health outcomes. So we'll have a research and evaluation committee. Actually, the committee is in the process of being appointed right now over the next couple of weeks. And they'll be looking at sources of data and evidence that can demonstrate health department performance as it relates to accreditation and also public health outcomes as they relate to the provision of public health services through the departments and as a result of accreditation. So we'll be working as we go along on documenting the effectiveness and the importance to the public health world of a good, solid national voluntary accreditation program. The opportunities for you to participate are by volunteering to work in the work groups, by working with us directly, by sending us information and background on your activities. Also, in connection with these work groups, we're going to be forming advisory forums, and that's my term because we really haven't titled that yet, to do some of that interaction and feedback to the work groups as they go through their process of developing standards or equivalency. And I haven't mentioned, and it's an oversight, that we will have an equivalency work group. The question is often asked about how state programs that are currently in the process or are in place or being formed will relate to this national program, and we will have a work group looking at how we can work together and best use the and interface with state programs as we get into this national program. And that equivalency work group has also been formed at this point, and we'll work with advisory groups as it goes forward. Other committees we're looking at down the road, a public outreach committee. We're looking at marketing of the program and informing the public about it, as well as the profession. And as we get a little bit more mature in that work, we're going to form a public outreach committee to work with us there. And, of course, working within your own department on their programs. There is, as we just heard this morning in Kansas and Massachusetts, there's work happening in states. There's work happening at local health departments. You need to be aware of that. You need to be working in those programs. You need to convene within your own departments, your thought leaders, and discuss how to get ready for accreditation. Programs like the National Public Health Performance Standards Program, the Multi-State Learning Collaborative are all programs that can help you prepare for accreditation as it is being developed. So you need to work with and be informed by those programs, and you know, by all means, review the Exploring Accreditation final recommendations, so you know in somewhat greater detail than I have time to present to you here this afternoon what we're doing and why we're doing it. These are just some of the resources that you can link to through the FAB Board website on accreditation and on the work that I just mentioned that's going on, multi-state learning collaboratives, the public health performance standards, the North Carolina accreditation roadmap, and other work that you should inform yourselves on by going to the website. And you can always feel free to call or email myself or our Associate Director, Robin Wilcox, with any questions or comments, and we'll be glad to talk to you further about it. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Great presentations. We're going to open it up now for questions for any of the panelists.
That's an excellent question, and it is obviously a very difficult question, and you've given it a lot of thought, and so have a lot of other people. Developing a correlation between the standards that will be the measures for accreditation and outcomes, public health outcomes in the community, is a challenge, and it's there's going to be a wide variety of abilities to do that. I would think there'd be some pretty good connections between standards and some outcomes that are easily measurable. They'll be very difficult and dubious connections to be made between other less direct outcomes from standards. And that's the purpose that we have established, and again, it was recommended by the Explore Accreditation Project that we establish a research and evaluation committee. They will do research or they will look at research and evaluate data and evidence to try to develop a much better database to answer the question that you're asking, you know, what outcomes can be directly related to measurables under standards. We don't have the answers yet. In addition to that, you know, there are funded studies and studies being looked at right now for funding on that same subject. Proposals have come out for funded research, and there are going to be more coming. To look at gathering evidence and effectively analyzing that evidence to tie standards to outcomes. So that right now, I can't answer the question other than to say, you know, with better research, better data, better analysis and data of the evidence that's out there, I seriously hope that we'll develop the answers to those questions, because I think part of the way that we're going to be able to convince some of the public health community that accreditation has value is to be able to establish that those relationships actually do exist and can be measured. So I guess I'm dancing around that question a little bit, but that's the best answer I can give you. And I am in Washington, so I'm not required to respond directly to anything,
yes,
even though we don't have the Red Sox.
Right.
Well, I barely referenced them. I also barely referenced the NACHO local health department. I barely referenced a lot of things because in 20 minutes here I was covering an awful lot of ground. Definitely the national public health performance standards, which are now in version 2, and you know, look at the system, public health system, rather than the department per se, but look at the public health system, have got a lot of information that will be very informative and will inform the standards process as we go forward. No, they won't be the same standards, but those standards will be very much a part of the development of the public health department standards that are ultimately developed. They'll, you know, they'll be a key. There's really only a few good, solid works out there that will come into the development of national standards. You know, the ASTO work, the NACHO operational definition, and the National Public Health Performance Standards are really the three keys that I think of, and there may be others out there that I'm not as well informed on, but certainly there's been a lot of work done there. There continues to be a lot of work. More and more states and local organizations are going through the process of learning about them and evaluating their systems against them. We have to expect that they'll be a major piece. And also consider that a lot of the people that are working on the standards work groups and will work with them in advisory capacity have been very involved in working with the National Public Health Performance Standards process. Knowing how you do business now, I can't specifically answer it in with respect to your state, but I can say again the objectives and the goals of the accreditation process are to provide you with better ways of effectively and continuously improving your work under the 10 essentials, delivering the 10 essential services to your public. So accreditation will help your staff implement quality improvement, will help your leadership finance and fund your department's activities through using accreditation as a tool when they go to state legislators and others and say, well, look, to be accredited, we need to have this to meet that standard, but to do that, we need to, I mean, we're showing why we need the funding and how it's going to be used. So you'll be better able and more effective in developing the funding for your operations, which will help you be more effective in performing your services. You'll be able to better institute quality improvement, which will help you deliver services more effectively. You'll also be able to identify, and going through the process, gaps that you need to address and put some timeline and timing on that, which also should improve the way that, that your health department delivers services ultimately to the community. So it's just, you know, it comes down to efficiency and quality, improved efficiency and improved quality through accreditation. Always remembering that accreditation is not a stamp of approval. It's a process, and it works with quality improvement, accreditation, accountability, all work together as one, as a process, and it's a continuous process. You know, there will be a renewal involved with it. We don't know whether that's going to be a, what period of time is involved in that, but there'll be continuous renewals of accreditation, so it's an ongoing process. And it, if it works the way we're designing it, it has to improve. It has to improve the way a health department is able to do its essential business, which is to provide essential services to the public. this accreditation program is a voluntary national accreditation program for state and local health departments. It is most definitely accreditation for the department. That's why it's historic, and that's why it's exciting, but it is for the departments. Now, you know, we heard a presentation today about how regionalization and partnerships may come into play. So while we will be accrediting departments, it's feasible, and you know, I don't want to make predictions or promises that I can't keep even though I am in Washington, but it's feasible that that there will be partnerships that will enable a health department to become accredited because it meets the standards through a partnership, regional, local, or whatever. So it will be to accredit departments, but they may possibly, particularly smaller ones, achieve that accreditation credential through some kind of partnership arrangements that extend beyond their immediate departmental jurisdiction.
Regionalization means a whole bunch of different things to a lot of different people. And the idea of regionalizing one service makes complete sense. The idea of having all communicable disease activity or tuberculosis activities or any number or certain kinds of food protection activities. So, or it could mean blending towns together. So in the project that we're thinking about, we're actually thinking about all of those kinds of ways. We're thinking that individual communities will be able to decide what regionalization means to them. So for some, it may mean a cluster of towns will come together to actually blend all of their services. In some others, it may mean that they select one or two or three areas to actually just programmatic areas to blend their activities together. So regionalization can mean that. It can mean a whole bunch of other things. And in fact, that's maybe one of the problems we sometimes have, that we use the term to mean so many different kinds of things. But indeed, you've described regionalization for your area.
I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, some of our experience has been that the partnerships, you know, we started regionalization around preparedness, but there were other programs that had partnerships. One of our challenges right now is how we have continuity of boundaries, because you'll have a county that's partnered with this county for one program and another program they've partnered with another group. And so when you've had those established relationships, it's hard to break it up. But that's one of the things we're looking at right now. We don't have all the answers, but that is a big issue that we're trying to look at, the consistency of boundaries in those partnerships. But certainly our functional regionalization is amenable to doing it one program at a time. And incremental, but the continuity of boundaries gets to be an issue.
Okay, I'm going to take one last question, since we are actually over time. I hear a good question.
I think that we have much to learn. It's clearly in our project, we're looking at the need to have standards and are hoping to work very closely with the accreditation project as we think about regional activity. The first phase of our initiative is to even get people used to the idea of thinking about blending their activities together and to overall thinking that we have a responsibility for providing a comprehensive array of services to our communities. So accreditation only furthers that. And in some instances, it may even be the thing that pushes it forward for us. So we'll be looking to work with that program definitely collaboratively.
We have a hunch. just a hunch that we're going to have to do some structural changes. So we're starting those structural changes right now. You know, what that standard ultimately is kind of the just the tweaking process, because what we've got are political landmines and structural issues that have to be attended to, and you don't need the final version of the standards to start moving.
Well, let's give our panelists a round of applause. Thank you. They're very good.